This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. I'm Andy Eubank on the 18th of March, 2024, with C.J. Miller and Sabrina Halverson coming up on the news. Brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com for more and stop by your local branch. Coming up in the news, Farm Bill thoughts that it may not happen this year and the importance of extending the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says cold all week. And Friday corn and bean markets a little higher. We have Brian Basting analysis coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
A member of the House Ag Committee gives his thoughts on the next Farm Bill and ag leaders pushing to extend the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. I'm C.J. Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today, brought to you by McDonald's of Greater Indiana. This National Ag Week, McDonald's salutes all past, present, and future farmers across the Hoosier State. Well, you've been hearing a lot lately about the next Farm Bill, or the lack thereof. Many ag leaders believe that Congress may just end up extending the old Farm Bill once again and kick that can down the road even further. Sabrina Halverson recently spoke with a congressman who serves on the House Ag Committee to get his thoughts on the next Farm Bill.
Congressman John Duarte, a Republican from California, is unsure if we'll see it pass in 2024.
Any Farm Bill that we do this year will probably have to go through suspension, meaning we need two-thirds of the entire Congress to vote for it, which also, to some degree, means it may be a spending blowout, which there's not a lot of appetite for. There's a lot of money already in the Farm Bill. If we look at some of the Inflation Reduction Act or Inflation Inflammation Act, we call it. There's a lot of money in farm programs for conservation that is going to be spent over the next two or three years. The logical thing that we need to do, which is what G.T. Thompson, our chairman of the Ag Committee from Pennsylvania, is proposing, is taking that money and smoothing it out over the next 10 years so we don't just blow it away in 3 years of really highly increased spending and then have a good farm bill that funds the commodity programs and the nutrition programs in a rational, reasonable way. Then we've got something. But that's not what we're getting from the other side.
He says unless they can make a deal on that, he thinks they'll be extending the 2018 Farm Bill once again. He says the 2018 Farm Bill was a good Farm Bill for specialty crops. So for those producers, it's not a bad outcome. However, legislative work continues.
We've done some good things for it with the appropriations bill. I'm on a bill with Jimmy Panetta, bipartisan bill called the Gates Act, which would take the income limit off qualifications for some of the conservation programs. If you want to use equip money to modernize your operation smog-wise or emissions-wise, if you want to use an equip grant to do a large recharge basin, these are things we want farmers to do, even if they make more than $900,000 a year. And so by the Gates Act would make participation in conservation programs eligible for everybody, including bigger farms that can really have an impact on recharge basins and conservation. So even if the Farm Bill doesn't go this year, we're still going to do some good things to improve it.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Sabrina Halverson.
Well, back in 2017, Congress passed the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which gave tax breaks to many farmers and ag businesses. But many of those tax breaks are set to expire in 2025. Several ag organizations are concerned that if those tax breaks expire, tax bills for Indiana's farmers will increase significantly.
If nothing is done to extend them beyond 2025, farmers will face well over a $9 billion tax increase in 2026. The expiration of 199A alone would see certain farms' tax liability increase by up to 20%.
And that's Dustin Shear, Director of Government Affairs for American Farm Bureau. He says the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is important for farmers.
It lowered taxes for most individuals as well as most businesses of every size and type, including farms and ranches. The legislation is important for farmers and ranchers because 98% of their operations are organized as pass-throughs, and there were specific provisions included in the bill that benefit pass-through businesses, including the broader brackets and lower rates, the enhanced estate tax exemption, and the 199A qualified business income deduction that drives more rate parity between the top rates that small businesses pay and the 21% corporate rate.
He recommends having a conversation with your tax professional ahead of time to find out what your own personal tax liabilities might be without those tax breaks. Then have a conversation with your lawmakers on Capitol Hill about the importance of renewing those tax breaks.
Arm yourself with information. Do some research or talk to your CPA to understand how these various provisions of the tax code are benefiting your operation and how your operation is utilizing the savings from the provisions enacted by the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. And once you do that, talk to your elected officials, tell them your personal story, and tell them what the consequences would be if these options went away.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com and the new Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farm Credit Mid-America is a lender that has farmers' backs. With its patronage program, they give patronage-eligible customer owners a portion of their profits as cash. This year, Indiana patronage-eligible customer owners have gotten back more than $66 million. It's one more way Farm Credit Mid-America is showing up for farmers and strengthening rural communities. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. For more on patronage eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
The High Ground Podcast. Everything from energy and fuel.
It's Memorial Day weekend, going to be 87 to 89, maybe low 90s all weekend. So we thought we'd bring Scott Heine in. So we'll talk about home heat.
To agriculture.
Anytime we can help a farmer grow their business and meet their goals, that's a proud moment for me.
And, well, other things.
For some reason, like and subscribe. We don't know why, but that's important.
We want you to do it on your own, but we're going to tell you.
Listen now on all platforms.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Cold air dominating the start of this week. Honestly, cold air is going to dominate the entire week as we saw Canadian air shift southward late Saturday afternoon and evening, and it parks over the top of us from right now right on through at least a Thursday. We are looking at below normal temperatures easily across the region. However, these are not temperatures that are out of the realm of possibility for March. We just got used to temperatures feeling more like April and May, and so this really kind of slaps you upside the face as you go outside. We're going to be dealing with this through the next couple of days. There'll be a few ebbs and flows, like for example, tomorrow in western parts of Indiana, southwest Indiana, we might actually see temperatures moderate pretty good, and then a reinforcing shot of cold Canadian air dives down across the Great Lakes, upper Midwest again. So I think that we stay cold all the way through Thursday, but we're also not seeing a lot of precipitation. Anything that you do see pop up, either clouds or precipitation, is going to basically be lake effect that hits the northern parts of the state, and I really feel the better threat of this is going to be Michigan and into parts of Ohio rather than Indiana. So mixed clouds and sun in this cold air mass is what I'm talking about with the occasional lake effect here and there. Warm front starts to try and move in as we move into later in the week. I do think that we have to watch for a little bit of moisture overnight Thursday night into Friday. Mostly this is going to be I-70 north, but I won't rule out a few spits and sprinkles and even a few wet snowflakes. A few hundredths to a quarter of an inch is all that we see potential on the liquid equivalent side. Coverage 30% at best. Again, most of that in the north. For Friday afternoon, we dry down, and Saturday, Sunday, looking at warmer air in here behind this warm front that passed. I do think that shifts the moisture farther north into Wisconsin, Michigan, so on and so forth, but I'm keeping it out of Indiana through the weekend at this point. We probably see some offset clouds from that, but not much more. Major weather system starts to build in the plains as we finish the weekend and go into the start of next week. Monday, the front stays to our west. Overnight Monday night through Tuesday, we do see some showers here. At this point, I'm going to say a quarter to three quarters of an inch coverage around 80% of the state, but this is very early in this weather system's the development, and a lot could happen. What I do see behind it, though, is another push of colder air for about 2 to 3 days. So we're going to play this yo-yo back and forth game. Very warm, a little bit of moisture, and then we cool down dramatically. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
In farming, experience counts. Every growing season teaches us something. Experience counts in farm broadcasting as well. and no other farm broadcasting team in the state has the experience of Hoosier Ag Today. Eric Pfeiffer, C.J. Miller, Andy Eubank, and Sabrina Halverson, an experienced team that gives you credible coverage of today's agriculture. On air, online, and on your mobile device, turn to Hoosier Ag Today.
Corn and beans finished the week with a slightly higher move Friday. Wheat down. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank. Settlements on the way. First, we begin with market analysis. I grabbed that in the middle of the trading session from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. Brian, up and down markets, and much like the weather, almost stormy in the markets, but we did see some solid gains at times in the corn and soybean markets. I guess quick first review the week and all that it entailed.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of a bounce here as we get into the middle of March here. Andy, it's just not a tremendous rebound, but something to at least be noticing, worth noticing, I guess I should say, going forward after all the losses we've seen since harvest. We've seen some short covering in here, a little bit of export buying for corn. There's some indications that perhaps, I don't want to say for definite, but perhaps China is looking at the possibility of buying some U.S. corn down here. We're seeing the competition from Brazil in terms of corn exports dry up. Now, they just finished planting their new crop, Safrinha corn, so that won't be available till July or August. So there would be a little bit of a window there. But regardless, all these things have kind of played in together to give us a little bit of a bounce. But other than that, I think that the USDA, as we speak here, is finishing up their survey for the March 28th prospective plantings report, and that'll give us our first survey-based estimate of 2024 acreage here in the U.S. So trade's looking forward to that, and also on that day they'll release the quarterly grain stocks report. But as far as this week, a little bit of a bounce. I haven't heard anything exceptionally bullish other than, like I said, maybe and it isn't exceptionally bullish, but it might give the market a boost if China were to come in here and make some purchases.
And at these levels, might that be possible?
Yes, and there is some history supporting that. About this time last year, we did see China come in here and buy, I would say from the 1st of March to the early April, mid-April, about 4 million tons of U.S. corn. And now it's about 160 million bushel, but I can't give you any thoughts other than they've done that before about this time of year. They came in, for example, in 2021, 3 years ago. So two of the last 3 years, they've come in here and done some buying of U.S. corn for this early March, mid-March, early April time period. So whether that comes to fruition this year, we just have to wait and see. But the USDA did report a sale to unknown destinations of corn this morning on Friday. So that's something that we'll be taking note of here as we start to next week to see if there's any follow through to that.
You know, we've gone from wondering where the lows would be put in the corn market to working our way off those lows that came in under the $4 mark. And now on the front month, we're at the 430 to 440 area. So are we looking now at where resistance might be ahead?
Yeah, I think the trade's doing that. I think anytime you get to that, psychologically, it would be 450 would be a number that would be the trade would probably be looking at. And each probably, you know, you could argue each dime after that, all the way up to $5. But, I mean, that's a ways to go before those bridges are crossed. But I just remind your listeners that we do have carryout numbers that are projected to increase this year for the first time in several years, up to 2.2 billion bushels, according to the USDA, versus 1.36 last year. So there's a reason that the market did what it did from harvest there to the end of February. But yes, in terms of direct answer to your question, I would say that from 450 on up would be probably you could pencil in 10-cent resistance all the way up to $5.
And likewise in soybeans, $12 mark seems to be a bit of a resistance level.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I would say $12 with every 20 cents, maybe 20 to 25 cents resistance up to the next big mark would be 13. But yeah, it's been a long road down, needless to say, as your listeners know, taking that May futures contract for beans, for example, down from $14 there in November down to 11 under 11.50 here earlier this month. So actually, you know, it's just going to be a step at a time is the way I would phrase it. Just have to be careful on beans, though, too, because the carryout's projected at 315. Our numbers are a bit higher than that internally here. Our export numbers are a bit lower than USDA. But just to give your listeners reference, carry out last year was 264. So you're talking about over a 10% maybe increase in carry out in beans for this current crop year. Now, a lot can change. Of course, we've not even planted, for all intents and purposes, any of our crops here in the U.S., but worldwide, doubling of the crop size in Argentina and still a healthy crop in Brazil, albeit smaller than last year.
Brian Basting, Advanced Trading. His number is 309-664-2314. More numbers now. Friday settlements may corn up 3 cents, closing at 436 and three quarters. July 449, up 2 3/4. And December up 3, 470 and three quarters. Also 3 cents higher on the May beans, 1198 1/4. July 12, 12 1/2, up 2 3/4. November 1190 3/4, a gain of 3 3/4. 3 3/4 lower for May wheat, 528 1/2. April live cattle, 187.25, up 30 cents as the protein sector works higher all day. April lean hogs, 86.92, up $1.90. I'm Andy Eubank, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.